Hello, thank you for joining us. Glad you could make it. My name is Mark Krasinovich. I'm CTO of Microsoft Azure.
And howdy, I'm Jeffrey Snover. I'm the chief architect of the Enterprise Cloud Group. So I'm all things enterprise, infrastructure, and IT. And we're so glad you could join us in our webcast today. Unlike our road shows in the past, our industry shows, you don't have to travel long distance to get this great information. And today, Mark and I are going to talk about a number of topics that we're very passionate about, in particular around business transformation, new applications enabled by the cloud. And in particular, we're going to focus in on the hybrid cloud and how the hybrid cloud is able to bring you the full realization of the cloud, bringing the power of the cloud to your data centers.
So speaking of not having to travel, Jeffrey and I have been doing a ton of travel over the last year. We've been going around the world for Azure Roadshows and a whole bunch of other events. And while we both really enjoy travel, we get to meet new people, we get to experience different cultures, there are some challenges when it comes to travel. For example, time zone differences. I've several times almost missed a meeting because I'm thrown off by a time zone difference. Or signage that we don't understand, different languages that are spoken, even having to drive on the different side of the road, for example.
You almost said wrong.
Yeah, wrong for my...
Now, didn't you have an issue in London with water or something?
Yeah, there was one time I was desperately thirsty, so I go into a shop to get some water. I pull up a few bottles, I take it to the counter, and I give the guy my American Express card. He says they don't accept that. So then I pull out my Visa card, and that gets declined after a few minutes because apparently I'm traveling, and so it's raised some kind of flag. So all I have are dollar bills, and I pull those out hoping he'll accept those, and it's no deal. So
No water for me. Well, you know, that's the thing. You know, when you're doing this travel, you're trying to accomplish some objective, right? You're trying to meet with some people. You're trying to conduct some business. You're trying to do something. And often these frictions, these, you know, things that are incidental to that really kind of get in your way of transacting and meeting your objective.
Yeah, so wouldn't it be great if when you traveled, you could have a consistent experience for all these things that are mostly just getting in the way and not really enriching the time that you're spending or letting you meet your objectives? If you could have a consistent currency everywhere, if there was no time zone difference, if the signs were all in the language that you natively speak, then you could accomplish a lot more quickly, a lot more efficiently, and really enjoy the travel that you're doing.
Yeah, so as Mark and I discussed this, we realized that these differences in travel and differences in countries is very similar to the differences we see in enterprises. And this is perfectly natural because in the past, what we would do is we'd give you a set of components, and then you'd have to take those components to deliver your custom application, right? And so what ends up happening is you end up with custom infrastructure, custom hardware, custom people, and custom processes all to deliver some application. And each group ends up with their own enterprise-specific language or even group-specific language. And what you find is that that makes you a little less agile than you need to be. So in particular, if you want to hire in some talent, it makes it hard to hire in that talent because it takes them a while to come up to speed or get trained. If you have some need some excess capacity or new capacity to run your application, it makes it very difficult to get additional capabilities from your partners because they have a custom design of their own. And so too, if you have some excess capacity, it's hard to lend that to another team because it's very custom to your application. So effectively, it's very static and very brittle. It's not agile enough. So we believe that the cloud is a model. The cloud is not a location.
So what has really driven the agility of the cloud? For one, it is loosely coupled apps and microservices. The ability to create applications very quickly and evolve them very quickly to meet ongoing business demands, as opposed to the old monolithic style of traditional IT applications. Another one is consistent hardware. So the environment is very elastic and applications can grow and shrink and consume the resources that other applications were using a minute earlier for maximum efficiency. Then there's, of course, service-focused DevOps, which is required for that agile application delivery. Those applications that are being updated frequently need to be operated and monitored by the people developing them so they can quickly react to changes, react to problems in the application, and get them updated. And then finally, you need standard processes and configuration. You need automation to be able to run quickly and at large scale, as the way that cloud providers do.
Yeah, so make no mistake about it. The cloud is the natural evolution of computing. It is our future. And many of you are already embracing that to some degree today. A number of you are embracing something Gartner calls bimodal IT, where you have existing systems that stay as they are, and then you're adopting some flavor of fast self-service delivery. We can do this. So we want you to be the change agent in your organization to drive and lead your organization to the cloud, and we're going to help you do that. And so Microsoft has been on this journey for the cloud for quite a long time and with our hyperscale data centers. And so we can help you shortcut some of those lessons.
So I'll briefly talk a little bit about Microsoft Azure, Microsoft's own hyperscale cloud platform, which has been incredibly successful. In terms of adoption, we've got numbers to show the kind of scale that we've gotten to. For example, 500 million users in our Azure Active Directory Identity Service. We're ingesting more than 1.5 trillion events per month in our IoT event ingestion system.
Was that with a T or B? Trillion?
T, trillion.
Trillion.
We've got over 777 trillion transactions per day in our Azure storage system. So these numbers are just monstrous. And we can only achieve that through all of those standard ways of operating and the microservices type of applications that we've been talking about. But most importantly, we're running our own businesses on top of Microsoft Azure. We're running Skype, we're running Bing, we're running Xbox, we're running Office 365 on top of Azure.
Yeah, that's amazing stuff. But clearly, we know, having talked to you, that not all businesses are ready for 100% pure public cloud play. And so what we want to do, you know, is we realize that a one-size-fits-all approach isn't going to work for everyone. So we want to enable the cloud on your terms. And it's time for us to bring the cloud to you, directly into your data centers.
And that's exactly what Microsoft Azure Stack's all about. It's about bringing the consistency of the hyperscale public cloud Azure platform to your own data center, about enabling your developers to create the applications that will run in both places unchanged, about enabling your end users to interact with those applications in the same way in both environments. It is literally the first hybrid cloud platform product on the market and the only one that brings a hyperscale public cloud environment to your own data center. But before we talk about what it is, let's talk about why we decided it was so important to create it for you.
The answer is really quite simple, and the answer is you told us to. We spent a lot of time talking to you and finding out about your needs, and you were the ones that told us that you really wanted the power of Azure, but you wanted Azure running in your data center. So there are a number of reasons for this. First is around business concerns. A number of people were concerned about things like data sovereignty. Some people were in regulated industries. Some people were concerned about the latency and control they'd have.
One of the things that we've heard customers asking us for several years now is, wouldn't it be great if we could just choose to embrace modern native cloud application development and then have those applications land wherever they needed to be according to the business requirements.
And then also a lot of people are concerned, you know, they're basically finding that the alternatives are inadequate.
Right? Yeah, take AWS, for example, a hyperscale public cloud, but with no focus on bringing that consistency to on-premises. So no compatibility for APIs or environment or developers or end user experience for on-premises offered by them.
Right. And like OpenStack is very complex. It's a highly fragmented ecosystem. And then lastly, there's VMware and their virtualization model. And virtualization is great. Virtualization provides meaningful cost optimization for the traditional way, traditional applications. It's a very good model. However, it is not the basis for a cloud-first applications. That's not the right mindset, et cetera. So Mark and I are committed to this cloud-first mindset. And so we're working together to bring the power of Azure and making sure that it runs on your hardware in your data center.
So ultimately, we recognize that every company is going to go through a cloud transformation at a different pace, at their own pace, that's driven by their own business needs and requirements. And we want to be there to support you, whether you're going to go to the cloud in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, or whether you're going to remain with one foot on-prem and one foot in the cloud indefinitely.
Yeah, I got to say, that's one of the things I love working at Microsoft is we're going to help the customer no matter what they want to do. You know, some of our competitors, all they have is a public cloud. So they go around bad-mouthing the private cloud, trying to make people feel bad about their business concerns about why they want to be in the private cloud. Other people, all they have is the private cloud. So they go around bad-mouthing and trying to do scare tactics around the public
cloud.
Or
cloud wash their private cloud.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's so great that, you know, we don't have a dog in this fight. You know, we know that both of these make sense for customers, and we're going to help you pick whichever makes sense for you at whatever time. And another thing I love about our play is that it's okay if customers are wrong. You know, you don't always have perfect foresight. So you could say, hey, we're going to start off conservative, do it in the private cloud on premises. And then when you say, oh, you know, why am I being so conservative? You can transform to the public cloud or vice versa if you've done it in the public cloud and decide you want to bring it on premises. So I think we've got a great position there. It's one of the things I love about what we're doing here.
Really helping the customer.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. It's customer focused. Yeah. Yep.
So imagine the things you can do with this consistent environment. From an application perspective, I talked about some of the scenarios that you get right out of the box. Your developers create an application. It can span on-prem and the cloud. It can start in the cloud as dev test and then move back to on-prem for production. Or it can start on-prem now and then in a year or two or whenever the requirements of the cloud meet your needs, then it can move up into the cloud.
Yeah, you know, I actually heard a new one. Talked to a customer a couple days ago, and they were talking about how they wanted to run their applications in the public cloud, but then use the blob store and the private cloud so that they could retain all their information locally. So that was pretty interesting.
One of the things that we've heard customers asking us is, the cloud is our future. How do we develop applications that will eventually make it to the cloud that might start on-prem today, but we want to migrate to the cloud, and we want to not have to go rewrite them when we move that? The other one is we'd like to create applications so we can do dev test in the cloud and then have those easily move back to on-premises. And then finally, applications that might span on-premises in the cloud. So what this will do, this consistent environment, is relieve that pressure that you've got today for those developers to bypass you with Shadow IT and go directly to the cloud. They can achieve their business objectives on your own infrastructure, in your own data center, with this level of consistency, with the true power of the cloud in their own data center. Not just that, but they'll be able to take advantage of not just the agility of infrastructure services, but also higher level PaaS services that will come as part of Azure Stack. For example, database as a service. And you'll see more and more of those higher level PaaS services that are truly empowering for those application developers, where they don't have to worry about the infrastructure underneath those services, but rather let the cloud platform take care of that for them.
Right. They're able to build their applications on these higher level services and just go, go, go.
That's right.
So we've mentioned to you that the cloud is not a location, it's a model. So what is the model? And this is the model. So this is the common model, independent of whether it's the public cloud or the private cloud. You got the same end user experiences, portals, self-service portal, DevOps tools. You have a cloud application model. Then you have infrastructure services and platform services, and then built on cloud infrastructure. And again, that model is going to be available both in public cloud, private cloud, and then hosted cloud. So we haven't talked about hosted cloud. What's hosted cloud? Hosted cloud is hosters being able to take the Azure Stack and offer it as a service to people. So if you don't want to have the public cloud and you have a great relationship with a hoster who's a trusted advisor, they can provide Azure Stack as a service to you.
So more concretely, in the context of Microsoft Azure Stack, Microsoft's hybrid cloud platform, what we're talking about is at the top level, you have the Azure portal, you've got PowerShell and the DevOps tooling that comes with Azure. You've got Azure Resource Manager as the cloud developer interface to the platform. And underneath that, you've got the infrastructure services that I mentioned, as well as Microsoft Azure platform services, platform as a service services that I mentioned. At the bottom, instead of running the cloud infrastructure that we power the hyperscale public cloud with, you run a different fabric that is powering the smaller scale environments of your own on-premises environment with the hardware that you've provisioned there.
We should explain why that's the case. So let me ask, I think you can clear it up with one question. So when you do an Azure Stack or an Azure storage build out, what's the minimum stamp size you have?
The minimum is about 1,000 servers.
About 1,000 servers, right? So you can see how that isn't appropriate for on-premises data centers. So that's why there's a cloud-inspired set of infrastructure. You'll see we took the design model and design thinking and then have a different implementation of that for on-premises.
So what Azure Stack really provides you are three value propositions. One are Azure services in your own data center. The other one is unified application development that you get on top of that platform. And then finally, you get one Azure ecosystem, because we're talking about bringing the Azure resources, the templates, the virtual machines to your own data center. So you'll be able to take advantage of that ecosystem, of the hyperscale public cloud ecosystem in your own infrastructure.
Right. And then for developers, it's great because?
Well, you develop a cloud-native application once, and you can run it in either place.
Exactly. And IT pros love it because now all of a sudden, we get to enable our business to get to the cloud, and we still have a seat at the table, right? Because IT needs a seat at the table as you go to the cloud, because with this shadow IT, we talked a little bit about that, that's where developers, when they aren't getting what they need from their IT organization, bypass IT and go directly to a public cloud. Now, that's great for the business because they get what they need done. However, it's actually bad for the business because IT, we're the guardians of the policies, the data, making sure that our customers' data is secure and private. And so this model of being able to offer our data center resources as a cloud service ensures our business can go to the cloud while maintaining all the things that we're responsible for.
And I want to mention that this brings true cloud to your own data center, not just some aspects of cloud. This brings, if you take a look at the definition of what a cloud is, on-demand self-service and elastic. It is multi-tenant, resource pooling. So you get these kinds of capabilities that are truly modeled on what we've got in public Azure in your own data center, measured and metered so that you can keep track of resource consumption by user, by application. Those kinds of capabilities come with this as well. So speaking of those Azure services, the ones that are going to come in the first release of Azure Stack include the base infrastructure compute, network, and storage. That includes disk storage as well as blob storage and table storage, as well as Azure Service Fabric, and as well as Azure App Service, which includes Azure Web App, mobile apps, API apps, and notification applications. Of course, we'll be continuing to add to this portfolio of services that are going to be available to you in Azure Stack, but this is a first solid starting point, which will give you an ecosystem of this fundamental capabilities to create applications.
So we've talked about how Azure Stack enables IT pros to deliver their data center resources as a cloud delivery service. So let's talk a little bit more about that in detail. You're able to take your hardware and present it using the self-service IaaS. This is great for traditional applications like SQL or Exchange. So you have virtual machines, virtual networking, virtual storage. And then we also support self-service PaaS, as Mark was mentioning. So here we're talking about App Service. These are web applications, Service Fabric, Docker integration with containers. And this enables your developers to provision themselves access to these resources and allows them to build these applications very, very quickly. Lastly, you have the same tools that we use internally to provision services. You get those tools and you're able to provision services for your users.
Now let's talk a little bit about the unified application development model that you get with this kind of consistency. And what we're talking about is the next generation Azure platform, the one that is built on top of Azure Resource Manager, which is the common control plane across all Azure services. What Azure Resource Manager gives you is a couple of powerful capabilities. One of them is template-based deployment of applications. So when you deploy a cloud application, they typically consist of multiple resources, a website and a database, maybe a cache. With Azure Resource Manager templates, you can describe that declaratively and then place it in a marketplace or a gallery like we've got in public Azure. Developers can create these things. End users can go deploy them with a few clicks, parameterize their configuration specific to their deployment, and within minutes, they have that complex application up and running. Another thing that Azure Resource Manager gives you through this common control plane is unified role-based access control. So with both Azure and Azure Stack, you can use Azure Active Directory roles and user assignments to give users appropriate access to the resources, the applications, and their resources that they need. And that is all enforced in a common way across all Azure services using Azure Resource Manager. So with this kind of model, you can take a template, develop an application on-premises, then go take that same template and deploy it in the cloud, or vice versa, or take an application and decompose it into multiple templates, part of the application in the cloud, part on-prem, and then have a unified role-based access control model across both those environments. Further, Azure is an open source platform. We embrace open source as a first-class citizen in Azure, and that same applies to Azure Stack. So whether you're a developer in PHP, Ruby, Python, all of those environments, or Linux, of course, all of those different application platforms and runtimes that are available in Azure will be available in Azure Stack as well. And I think one thing that is critical to emphasize here, this isn't some shim layer that abstracts away differences. You are going to be programming to the exact same SDK, whether you're targeting public Azure or Azure Stack, to give you true portability across those environments.
Right, so it's the APIs, but then also the tools, right? All the DevOps tools that work
exactly.
in the public cloud, work in
including,
on-premises.
Of course, I see you teeing it up here, PowerShell.
Well, since you brought it up.
All the PowerShell commandlets in the Azure CLI, which works on Mac and Linux, you simply point it at Azure Stack or Azure Public Cloud, and the same APIs and commandlets work.
Of course, it's all about PowerShell, but actually I was referring to the other things, the
that?
Chefs, the Puppets, the Ansibles, all those tools that integrate in with Azure, you'll be able to use those same tools in your on-premise data center. So it's really
good
powerful
point.
Story. So as Mark was saying, the consistent set of APIs basically allows many people to be able to write things to the public cloud or the private cloud. So really what we're talking about here is a platform, right? That's what Microsoft's DNA is. We're a platform company. And the great thing about platforms is they enable ecosystems. So what's going on with that? Well, the answer is this API, this platform, allows people to do their best work on the platform with the lowest amount of effort. That's why people love the platform. And so now you're able to do that. You're able to do your best cloud work on our platform. And in so doing, that gives customers the widest range of choice because there are so many people building on this platform. There's lots of choices. So that's the real power of the platform, is to enable the ecosystem. And guess what? You're part of that ecosystem too, right? So as you need to hire people, now all of a sudden you can go out and hire people with the skill set and make them more productive with less training, more instantaneously. Or if you need to move somewhere, sometimes we have people that need to move up across the country or around the globe because of family or personal situations. Well, now you have a skill set that enables you to go to other places, knock on a door, and have a lot of people say, wow, that's exactly what I was looking for. So the power of the ecosystem is fantastic with Azure.
And as far as the Azure ecosystem that we're talking about, Azure today is in 22 regions publicly with another 6 that are coming in the next 12 months.
Wow. And then we expect with the Azure Stack, we will have hundreds of service providers take Azure Stack and offer Azure as a service across the globe. Then, as customers deploy that, we expect thousands of enterprises to be running Azure in their own data centers. So you will be able to get Azure anywhere you want with this fantastic, vibrant ecosystem.
It's going to be one big family.
It is. Mi casa es tu casa.
As our Spanish friends would say.
Yes, indeed.
We're committed to delivering Azure innovation everywhere.
Sounds great, right? Well, let's do some demos to see what this puppy can really do.
This is the Azure portal. From the portal, you can create and manage your cloud resources. And Azure resource groups are used to contain a group of related resources that typically make up a larger application. For example, a website and a database could be grouped into a single resource group. The portal is organized around resource groups, so that way you can manage those collections of related resources together. If we take a look at this resource group, you can see a virtual machine and all the resources that make it up, including a network adapter. You can see the operations you can take on the virtual machine, and you also, when you click on a network adapter, you can see the detailed information about it. Here's the Azure Stack portal. It's the exact same code as we've got running in Azure, so it's going to look and behave exactly the same way. Here are resource groups, just like we saw in the Azure portal, and you can browse them in the same way. And here's a virtual machine that was created in the same way we created that one in Azure. So it has the same collection of resources, including a network adapter that when we click on, we see information about just like we saw in Azure. But we've taken the consistency between Azure and Azure Stack deeper than just the UI.
We've taken consistency to the API level. With this, investments made against Azure can apply to Azure Stack. Let's look at one of those automations. This is a deployment script that does three things. It connects to an Azure environment, sets the region like US West, North Europe, or East Asia, and finally deploys a template to the cloud. Here we're going to connect to Azure. Next, we'll specify the region in Azure that we want to deploy to. In this case, US West. Next, we'll run the deployment, specifying the parameters of the machine we want to create. There goes the deployment, creating that VM in Azure. Now we're going to take the same script and change it to connect with an Azure Stack deployment. We're going to set the region we want to deploy to, and then run exactly the same deployment steps. And there it goes, creating that virtual machine now in an Azure Stack deployment. Enabling developers to go fast means that they have access to the resources from the tools they need to get their job done.
This is a Visual Studio project that's using the Azure SDK. The project that's open is one that can be deployed to an Azure cloud. So from their development environment, a developer can deploy their work and choose to deploy to the Azure cloud that they're subscribed to. Here you can see the Azure subscriptions available to this user, as well as the Azure Stack subscriptions available. Once the developers made their choice, they simply finish setting up the deployment and deploy the application. The deep consistency between Azure and Azure Stack means that the ecosystem of tools and templates that work against one work against the other.
Let's take a look at one of those tools. Azure Stack has the same blob storage capabilities as Azure. If we look at our storage accounts in this Azure Stack deployment, there is a storage container called My Photos. Currently, that container is empty. This is the Azure Storage Explorer. It's a community tool for working with storage in Azure. With no changes to the tool itself, all we did was connect it to a storage account that is in Azure Stack and see that the My Photos container is available. We can upload a file to the blob storage, in this case, a photo. When we switch back to Azure Stack portal and refresh the container, the photo we uploaded is now in the cloud. We can copy a URL to that photo and paste it into a browser. And now we see the picture we uploaded to the Azure Blob Storage running in the data center. So as we talk to customers, there are lots of questions about Azure Stack and what it is. So let's go through some of the most common ones.
So one of the questions you probably have are which services are going to be included in Technical Preview 1? And that includes the core set of infrastructure, compute, network, and storage services. Specifically with compute, it's virtual machines and virtual machine extensions, as well as the ability to run containers inside of virtual machines. For networking, it includes virtual networks, which is a way to encapsulate groups of virtual machines together in a network, as well as the software-defined load balancer, as well as virtual network gateways. And for storage, it includes the blob service, as well as the table service. For higher-level platform-as-a-service offerings, it will include web apps, which is a component of the overall app service. It will also include some fundamental cross-cutting services, including the Azure portal, as well as the Azure Resource Manager control plane that is the interface to the services I just mentioned. Now, as far as what services will be available at the time of GA of Azure Stack, beyond what's included in TP1, that will be the rest of the app services, including logic apps, API apps, and mobile apps. And Service Fabric will also be there, though it will be in preview form at the time Azure Stack goes GA.
Yeah, that's an important thing to note. This is Azure, right? And so Azure always has a set of things that are in production and then a set of things that are in preview. It's going to be exactly the same way on premises. At any given point, we'll be delivering you things that are in production and things that are in preview.
And of course, we'll continue to iterate on the quality and richness of TP1 as we get towards GA.
So a number of people have asked, what was our thought process in picking the services that are going to be available in the first version of Azure Stack? And the answer is really quite simple, talking to you. So we talked to you and found out what your most pressing needs were. And we also have the benefit of the Azure metrics. So we found out what things you're actually using in the public cloud. So those combination, along with what was technically feasible, drove the list of things we're delivering for version 1. Another question I get a lot is, how does Azure Stack relate to Windows Server, System Center, and the Azure Pack? And the answer is that the Azure Stack is all focused in on the cloud, right? We're taking literally the Azure code and making it available on premises. The Windows Server, System Center, Azure Pack, that's great for virtualization. Here, we're focused in on giving you the same experience of Azure in the public cloud, making that available in the private cloud, and thus giving you a hybrid cloud solution. Another question I get a lot is, how will Azure Stack be updated in service? So here it's important to step back and think about what it is we're doing. And what we're doing is we're creating a cloud ecosystem of the public cloud, of hosted clouds, and private clouds. And so it's important for everyone to be on a consistent set of APIs. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be updating Azure Stack at a cloud cadence. Now, Azure updates very, very frequently. We'll update less frequently, probably a couple times a year, and we'll articulate when that is, so you'll have predictable timetables, et cetera. But at any given point, you'll know that you're consistent with Azure. And of course, the question everyone wants to know the answer to, when can I get it? And the answer is, we are targeting release of Azure Stack for the fourth quarter of this year, 2016. We have the technical preview out, and we will be updating the technical preview multiple times throughout the year. So what's next? And the answer is, we want to partner with you for you to be the change agent to bring your organization to the cloud. We want you to be the hero.
One of the things you do to get ready for this is to start learning about the Azure application model, which is founded on Azure Resource Manager, the core interface for both the public Azure cloud as well as Azure Stack.
Absolutely. And you want to pick up the technical preview, kick the tires, let us know what's working for you, where we can do a better job.
And remember, this is just the first big step on a journey we're taking with you to bring the power of Azure into your own data center. So we encourage you to follow us along on Twitter. There's my handle there on the right.
And there's mine on the left. And if you can only follow one, follow me.
Follow me. So we want to thank you for joining us and want to wish you the best of luck on your journey to the cloud.
Thanks for joining us today.